Welcome to the Overweight Mind podcast. My name is Jay Nixon, and I'm the best-selling author of The Overweight Mind. This podcast is where the power of positive psychology, mindset, and personal development converge to transform lives. I hope you'll join us on this uplifting journey as we explore the secrets to creating a lifestyle that leads to happiness, health, and wealth. Discover how science of the mind can help you achieve your weight loss goals and unlock your full potential of life. It's where the magic of the mind meets the path to a healthier, wealthier you. Welcome to the show. Before we dive into the show, I want to take a quick moment to talk about the sponsor of this episode. It is very dear and near and close to my heart because it is Lori's company, Spa Star. If you ever had the opportunity to watch someone create something from a thought or a vision and make this magical thing actually come to life, well, then you'll know why I'm so extremely proud of her and why I'm so excited to have her sponsoring the Thrive Forever Fit show. If you've listened to my podcast, then you probably heard her on episode 259. If you haven't heard that, I would go listen to episode 259 as soon as you finish this episode. She talks about the story of how she created it, the adversity she overcame, the challenges that she worked through, and just the inspirational story that I know you're absolutely going to love. But what Spa Star is, it's a luxury wrap. And it was created as a spa wrap for people who were getting beauty treatments. But what we found out is it is a piece for everyday life. People are wearing it as swimsuit cover-ups, resort wear, just to get ready in the mornings or for that special event. It is the most unique piece. And I've actually worn this thing several times. I was the actual first model for this. Maybe I'll show you guys some photos of that, Fred, when the time is right. But it is such a cool creation called the Get Ready Wrap by Spa Star. And because you're a listener, you get 15% off today because you support me. So just go to spastar.net, spastar.net, the word spa, the word star.net. And at the checkout, enter Thrive15, T-H-R-I-V-E 15, and you're going to get 15% off of your Get Ready Wrap. So many of my clients already have these and absolutely love them. We're selling them all over the country and all over the world, for that matter, to high-end luxury spas, and to people just like you that are using them inside of their own homes. They're traveling with them. They're using them at the pool. It's so really just unbelievably cool to see and witness. And I'm so blessed to be a part of it. And I'm so blessed to have Lori actually sponsoring my podcast, which I think is really, really cool. So go check out Spa Star. I know you're going to love it. It is the coolest thing ever. And guys, this isn't just for ladies. This is one of the coolest gifts you could get your any female in your life, for that matter. If Lori hadn't have created it, I would buy them for her as a gift to show her my love and appreciation. So dudes, if you're listening and you need to get a gift for your significant other or some special person in your life, go to spastar.net, grab a Get Ready Wrap. There's all kinds of colors. There's black, there's sage, there's a berry color, there's a gosh, I just went blank. There's a kind of a greeny, kind of avocado-y color. Really cool. You're definitely going to love these, I promise. So go to spastar.net, check it out, support Lori. And Lori, thank you for sponsoring the show. All right, let's get to the action. I've got a super exciting show for you today. Really interesting information that you're going to absolutely love. Anytime I get the opportunity to talk to an expert or a leader in an industry, it really gets me fired up because I'm going to get more educated. I'm going to get some answers and we're going to have a ton of fun. And today is no different. I've got Dr. Tom O'Brien on the show today. I've actually read both of his books. One of them is called You Can Fix Your Brain and the other is The Autoimmune Fix. Dr. O'Brien is considered the Sherlock Holmes of chronic disease and he's a functional medicine expert. He's really big into environmental medicine, and he's a leading voice in holistic health and wellness. You're going to get blown away today with some really awesome information about inflammation, about autoimmune situations, about toxins, and you name it. It's going to be awesome. Great show today. Make sure you tune in. Get a pen and paper. You're absolutely going to enjoy the heck out of this, and I'll see you on the other side. Dr. O'Brien, welcome to the show. You and I have already been chatting a little bit about some mutual acquaintances, and let's dive into that inflammation. We were just kind of chatting about the CDC releasing, give me that stat again about the CDC saying how many diseases are kicked off by inflammation.
Yeah, the Center for Disease Control tells us that 14 of the top 15 causes of death are chronic inflammatory diseases. It's always inflammation. Everything except unintentional injuries is a chronic inflammatory disease. You know, when you pull at a chain, it always breaks at the weakest link, always. It's going to be at one end, the middle, the other end. It's your heart, your brain, your liver, your kidneys. But the pull on the chain is always inflammation. And our holistic doctors often are caught chasing the symptoms the person comes in with, and hopefully putting those symptoms into remission, which is great. But if we don't identify the triggers of the inflammation that cause that link to start to break a little bit, and the inflammation is still pulling on the chain, it's going to manifest somewhere else. You know, no one with an autoimmune disease that I've ever met, if you test them properly, no one with any autoimmune disease only has one. Right. They've got many. It's just one is causing most of the symptoms right now. So they go to that specialty doctor, a neurologist or a rheumatologist. And so they get the neurology diagnosis of MS or a rheumatology diagnosis of rheumatoid or lupus. But they've always got antibodies to other tissues going on. So if you're pulling on the chain and the symptoms take you in and your doctor helps strengthen that link so they put the rheumatoid into remission, but you're still pulling on the chain, it's going to manifest as MS right. or as Hashimoto's thyroid.
Why is that? I know the simple answer is because the symptoms are really easy. I mean, easier to identify, but why do we usually stop there? Why don't we keep going?
No one's been trained in this.
Okay, here we go.
No one's been trained. We're trained to be as harmless as possible in holistic medicine. People come in with migraines. Well, I'm not going to talk to them about their gut. If they're coming, oh, it's my head that hurts. Well, of course, I'm going to talk about their gut, right. But most doctors wouldn't. You know, if you go to a neurologist, he's going to talk to you about your brain and what to do about your brain for migraines. Well, migraines are rarely a brain dysfunction problem. Usually it's the gut. You know, we know it was Michael Gerson in 1999 that published the book, The Second Brain. And he was from Princeton. And he told us for every one message from the brain going down, telling the gut what to do, there are 9 messages from the gut going up, telling the brain what to do. The ratio is 9 to 1. That any brain dysfunction, you always have to include looking at the gut, because the messengers from the gut are going up controlling, the geek term is modulating, means has its hands on the steering wheel. That's all it means, of the direction your brain function is going. That your hands on the steering wheel are the metabolites, the exhaust coming from the bacteria in your gut. The ratio is 9 to 1 on balancing your brain hormones called neurotransmitters. Well, that's what causes depression and anxiety, is when they're out of balance, or schizophrenia or bipolar. It's neurotransmitter imbalances. Okay, wait, so I'll give you a drug that's going to help with your serotonin levels so your depression gets better. But wait a minute. So the balance of your brain hormones are controlled by the messages from the gut. Doctor, shouldn't we also be evaluating my gut in this?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of question I want people to ask.
I was having this conversation yesterday with a big group, and I was talking about how, like, you know, metabolic conditions like, you know, insulin sensitivity or any of those things are affecting the brain, creating neurological inflammation, which diminishes the brain's ability to create serotonin. So therefore, you think you're depressed, you think you have uncontrolled anxiety, you think you have these issues, and you go to the doctor and they just give you a antidepressant medication. And I said, well, how many of you know somebody who's on those medications, but it's still depressed? every hand in the room goes up because that's not the issue, right? It's not good. Exactly. It's not a serotonin issue. It's a it's an inflammation issue. I love
that. Exactly right. You always want to give protocols to reduce the symptoms as quickly as possible.
Sure.
I mean, if you have high blood pressure, you better take the medication. Don't be foolish.
Right.
You know, but it's not a deficiency of medication that's causing the problem, right? So you've got to deal with the problem. Where is the inflammation coming from? That's the key. And that's what we're teaching is where does the inflammation come from? And the most common source of inflammation, there are many that we'll talk about in our docuseries, but the most common source is what's on the end of your fork. That's most common. Well, I feel fine when I eat gluten. Well, it doesn't matter how you feel. You know, in Italy, they have 36 centers that are designated by the government as gluten-related disorder centers. Well, what does that mean? It means when a patient goes to a doctor and the doctor thinks, well, maybe gluten or wheat has a problem here. Look, I'm going to send you over to this center in the next town. There's 36 of them around the country. You go there because if they confirm that wheat is the problem, your food's a tax deduction. So people will then go there, right? And so the 36 centers, they looked at 5,000 patients that had been sent to one of these 36 centers. And so these are people that were sick. They went to their doctors with a complaint. And the doctor said, well, go over here. Let's find out if it's wheat. Let's find out if it's gluten. And what they found is that 7% of those 5,000 patients had celiac disease. Almost 93% had gluten sensitivity, non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And when they got off of wheat, their migraines went away, or their psoriasis went away, or their Hashimoto's thyroid went away because they applied the recommendations, go gluten-free and here's your prescription. So it's a tax deduction. So they did it. They got better. 7% were celiacs, you know, but so gut problems, but the vast majority were not. So if you think you have to feel bad in order to say, oh, I just ate that food and I don't feel so good, that's the indicator that the food's not good for you. You'll get it right 1 out of 8 times. Because 7 out of 8 times you eat the food, your gut feels fine. No, I feel fine when I eat pizza. But your migraines come the next day, or your child's attention deficit is worse in school the next day, or your skin's drier than ever the next day. And that's the wherever the weak link is in the chain, when you create this inflammation, that's where the symptoms are going to be.
I think when people, the layperson hears the word inflammation, they think about having a sprained ankle. Like, oh, okay, I sprained my ankle. It's swollen, therefore I must have some inflammation or an injury, something like that. They don't think about it. Yeah, they don't think about it from a systemic standpoint of like your gut can be inflamed because you can't see it. So how do we get people to, because most of the time if people don't quote unquote feel bad, they're not going to associate the two things.
Right.
So how do we create that association?
That's really a good question. You know, my job in our docuseries is to educate people not to wait until the symptoms are bad, because by then there's been a fair amount of tissue damage going on, right? So inflammation is really good for you. It's essential to life. We literally would not live if our immune system shuts down. You can't live because we're exposed to bacteria and viruses and all kinds of threats constantly. And Mrs. Patient, your immune system is the armed forces in your body. It's there to protect you. There's an Army, a Navy, an Air Force, a Marines, a Coast Guard. You know, we call them IgA, IgG, IgE, IgM, cytokines. They're all just different branches of the armed forces. And they're active most all the time because we're exposed to stuff constantly. But when it's excessive inflammation, then you start getting collateral damage. And because of the toxic world we live in today, I mean, it's really bad. And people don't, oh, I feel fine. Well, I don't think you really, you know, Mrs. Patient, if we did a detailed questionnaire about the little stuff that you're putting up with every day, I think we'd find most people are not in optimum health, and they're pretty far from it. And we say, well, it's stress. It's stress will cause. Well, actually, that's a very good point. We now know one of our experts that I interviewed shared the studies with us that negative thoughts activate your immune system just as much as exposure to a virus.
Yeah.
And so if you have a bad relationship, a stressful relationship with somebody at work or someone at home, or you've got kids that are attention deficit or perhaps on the autism spectrum, it's very difficult and stressful for families at first with autistic kids, then that stress is activating your immune system, pulling on the chain, and wherever the weak link is, and the weak link is determined by two things. It's determined by your genetics and what's called your antecedents, which means how you live your life. You know, if you eat tuna fish 2-3 times a week, you likely have mercury toxicity because most of the tuna fish is high in mercury. Or if you have a house, you live in a house that's got a little mold in the basement, well, it's not too bad. You're breathing mold 24/7. And we know from Dale Bredesen that of the 5 types of Alzheimer's, inhalation Alzheimer's is most common. 60 to 65% of all Alzheimer's is inhalation Alzheimer's, what you're breathing on a regular basis. And so when you learn, if you do a test and you find out that, wow, I've got a lot of brain inflammation. I mean, I feel okay, but and by definition, excessive inflammation is killing off cells, killing off cells, killing off cells. And if you have a family history of dementia in your family, and you do the right tests and you identify, well, I've got all this inflammation in my brain, I better stop pulling on the chain so hard, you know, or because I'm heading down the path towards dementia. So we educate people on how do you identify where is the pull on the chain coming from? What is your immune system trying to protect you from? It almost never is an immune system that's gone crazy. Almost never. No, you don't want to shut down your immune system. Now, for symptomatic relief with very acute autoimmune diseases, sometimes you got to help a little bit there. But that's not the protocol that you focus on. What you focus on is what is activating my armed forces trying to protect me? Is it the food that I'm the most common source of inflammation is what's on the end of your fork? Is it the food? Is it the air I'm breathing? You know, is it the plastic blinds on the windows? They're outgassing phthalates in the air, chemicals used to mold plastic. You can't see them, you can't smell them, but your family's breathing them in all day, every day, unless you clean the air. You have air cleaners in your house. You know, nail polish, you put nail polish on, and the phthalates, chemicals used to mold plastic, and they fall under the category of endocrine disruptors, hormone disruptors. The phthalates are in your bloodstream in 4 to 5 minutes. Now, because that's what makes the nails hard.
Yeah.
The polish hard. But there's no evidence that that amount of chemical getting in your bloodstream is toxic to humans. But it accumulates over a lifetime. So give me this. There's a good example here.
Yeah.
Give me a 5-year-old girl who's painting her 10 little fingers and 10 little toes one day a week for 25 years. Now she's 30 years old, gets married, gets pregnant, and hopefully has a healthy pregnancy and a healthy delivery. But Chicago, 2016, they looked at 326 pregnant women in the 8th month of pregnancy. And they collected urine and they measured the amount of phthalates, chemicals used to mold plastic, in the urine. And they divided the results into fourths, the lowest amount of phthalates, the next, the third, and the highest. They followed the offspring of those pregnancies, and they followed the babies. And when the babies turned 7 years old, they did Wechsler IQ tests on them, the official IQ test. There's not much in medicine that's all or every, but this was every. Every child whose mother was in the highest category of phthalates in urine in pregnancy these chemicals used to mold plastic, every child, compared to the children whose mothers were in the lowest category, every child in the highest category, their IQ was 7 points lower. Every one of them, 6.7 to 7.4 points lower. Now, that doesn't mean anything to anyone until you understand a 1 point difference in IQ is noticeable. A 7 point difference is the difference between a child working really hard, getting straight A's in school, and a child working really hard, getting straight C's. This kid doesn't have a chance in hell of ever excelling in school. Now just go to Google and type in phthalates and neurogenesis, brain cell growth. Here come the studies. The higher the phthalate, the more inhibition on brain cell growth. So mom, who was higher in phthalates because for 25 years, painting her 10 little fingers and 10 little toes, and she goes to the coffee shop and she gets her coffee, puts a plastic lid on it, and the steam from the heat of the coffee condenses on the underside of the lid and it drips back down into the coffee full of bisphenol A. And then she puts the coffee cup up to her lips, it hits the underside of that plastic lid, tapers down into the opening full of bisphenol A. And mom gets a coffee every day, 5 days a week on her way to work. So you're inoculating with these toxins, inoculating. And they accumulate in the body. Now she gets to be 25, 30 years old, and she's in the highest category. Her baby's brain is not going to develop to its potential, whatever its potential is. We have to get to these women of childbearing age and start explaining this to them, that this stuff is not harmless, that you've been told is so safe. Don't worry about it. It's not a problem. I feel fine when I put that on, or I feel fine with all this makeup. They've passed the legislation. They don't even have to list the chemicals they put in makeup. They don't have to list them. And you know, to give you a sense, in the European Union, there are over 20,000 chemicals that are outlawed. You can't bring them into the country in any product whatsoever. In the United States, there are 12. We're being exposed to all of these toxins every single day, and it's now affecting your future baby's brain. And if you don't know this stuff, and if you don't realize that, oh, wow, I have to detox and get these chemicals out before you get pregnant. You never detox in pregnancy because you mobilize all the chemicals that are stored in your body. And you don't want to do that when baby's getting mom's blood, right? So you have to learn to detox. It's 6 months to a year before you get pregnant. And that's what we're talking about. It doesn't matter what the disease is. It's always inflammation. And all of these chemicals that are stuck inside your body and your immune system trying to protect you is fighting these chemicals. So we've got this constant inflammation from the foods that we eat. I'll give you one more study and then I'll pause. In the Journal of the American Medical Association, they published a study in 2019 from Harvard. And the editors of the journal said, this is an elegant study using sophisticated biomarkers to demonstrate their point. Now, the editors of the Journal of the American Medical Association don't say that very often. This is the number one journal in the English language, and they don't give those kinds of kudos very often at all. So I thought, oh, this is an interesting comment. All right, it's going to be a good study. They looked at couples going to assisted fertility centers. And I'm sure you've got friends who have gone to assisted fertility centers. Most people do in your age bracket. And they ruled out all of the known features that determine success or failure: cigarette smoking, alcohol consumption, exercise, no exercise, obesity, paper thin, skinny, socioeconomic class, race. They ruled all that out in an elegant way, and they looked at one thing. What did they look at? The number of servings of fruits and vegetables a woman eats per day while she's going to the assisted fertility center. And they divided them into fourths, the least amount of fruits and vegetables, all the way up to the highest amount. And the results were shocking. The more fruits and vegetables you eat, if you're in the highest category of fruit and vegetable consumption, you had an 18% less likelihood of successful implantation compared to the women that weren't eating fruits and vegetables. 18%. And if you did get pregnant, you had a 26% less likelihood of a live birth. More miscarriages and stillbirths. The more fruits and vegetables you eat, the worse the outcome. What?
That's shocking.
Game changing.
Yeah.
But there was a category of women who were eating organic.
Yeah.
And in that category, it was the exact opposite. The more fruits and vegetables you eat, the better the outcome. It's the pesticides, right, insecticides, rodenticides, fungicides, antibiotics, glyphosate that's in your celery and your lettuce and your apples and your cucumbers that we're wanting to eat good food, but they're poisoning the food. And it kills your future baby 26% of the time. This is like jaw-dropping.
Yeah, mind-blowing.
The editor said, this is an elegant study using sophisticated biomarkers. You can't argue with the study.
Right.
But here's the good news. This was the really good news. Those women put in the category of eating organic fruits and vegetables were put in that category if they were eating 3 servings a week of organic. Not 21 servings a week.
Right.
Just 3. And they were in the category of organic, and they had much, much better results. Why? And now I'm going to tell you my opinion. Nothing I've said is my opinion until now. This is my opinion. I think the most sensitive tissue to toxic chemicals in the human body is a fertilized egg. It's got no defenses. Mm-hmm. It's only got mom's immune system and mom's environment inside the womb. But mom's environment inside the womb is poisonous. It's, you know, we've known for almost 10 years now that the average amount of chemicals in the umbilical cord blood at birth, 186, is the number of chemicals that are not supposed to be there. Pesticides, insecticides, heavy metals, organophosphates, petroleum products that are in the umbilical, that means baby's been getting fed the blood of mom with all the vitamins and minerals, but also these minute amounts of these toxic chemicals. And there are so many studies now that show the potential danger, it's actually beyond potential, every child whose mother was in the highest category, their IQ was 7 points lower. And nobody would know that. Healthy pregnancy, healthy delivery, healthy baby. 7 years old, though, their IQ is 7 points lower than the kids whose moms were in the lowest category. This is like, wake up, world.
You know, part of the issue is nobody knows about this, right? And I know that's why you're doing the docuseries, but like, this should be common knowledge. Like, this should be public, you know, this is what should be talked about in our media as opposed to all of the nonsense that gets talked about. But I guarantee you, that, you know, just backtracking a little bit of what you said, nobody has walked into their doctor's office for any situation, whether it be an ingrown toenail or brain cancer, and had a doctor ask them any of these questions about how they're moving, what they're eating, what they're consuming, if they have plastics in their house. Like, any of that stuff has never, ever, ever been spoken about.
Well, that's our job. That's our job. That's the job of the inflammation equation. I went after the world experts. I've been at this for just over 11 months, traveling the world, interviewing the greats in the world. And I said, now, doctor, you pointed out, and this is a really great concept. It's a little geeky, but Professor Yehuda Schoenfeld is the godfather of autoimmunity. 26 of the MDs who received their PhD in immunology from his department in Tel Aviv, Israel, and there are many, many more, but 26 of them chair departments of immunology in med schools and hospitals around the world. They're his students. This is the godfather. And he and I were on stage together in Rome in December, last December. And he made this comment: we are born 99% human. What that means is that there's a little bit of bacteria in baby's gut at birth from mom, from being in utero. It's not sterile in there. There's good bacteria and some bad bacteria, but there's a little bit. So we're born 99% human. And that's one of the main benefits of natural childbirth. Baby comes down the canal and gets just washed with the good bacteria from mom's birth canal. That's the inoculation. Get ready, you're coming out into the world. So we're born 99% human and we die 90% microbial. And you've heard the statistic before, there's 10 times more cells of bacteria in our body than human cells, but nobody ever put it together. Okay, that's kind of weird, but okay, what does that mean? Well, 90% of our bodies are bacteria. 10% of the body is human cells, and the bacteria have exhaust, right? You know, if I exercise too hard and my muscles sore the next day, we know that's lactic acid. It's the exhaust of the muscle, okay? And drink some water, you'll be fine in a day or two. You just made too much lactic acid, your body can't get rid of it all. Well, the bacteria in your gut have exhaust. And that exhaust makes up 36% of the small molecules in your bloodstream. Over one third of all the small molecules in your bloodstream are the exhaust of the microbiome. So if you have a bad microbiome, anyone out there that's got bloating or gas or abdominal cramps or constipation or diarrhea, anyone out there, you've got too many bad guys in your gut and not enough good guys. And it's called dysbiosis. That's the geek term for it, but it just means too many bad guys. And the bad and the good bacteria and the bad bacteria all produce exhausts like lactic acid in your muscles. And that exhaust makes up 36% of all the small molecules in the bloodstream. Okay, so, well, your bloodstream is the highway. And the highway is going in the same, everything's going in the same direction. There's no lanes of traffic. It's just a highway. Okay, so what? Over one third of everything in the bloodstream is the exhaust of the microbiome. Why? Because as we said earlier, the messaging to the brain, you know, it comes from your microbiome, right? To control the amount of brain hormones called neurotransmitters, that comes from your microbiome. If you have a too many bad guy, not enough good guy microbiome, that's called dysbiosis. If you have dysbiosis, too many bad guys, the exhaust activates the genes of inflammation. And when they activate the genes of inflammation, you're pulling on the chain. And when you keep pulling on the chain, because you've got these minor gut problems all the time, and you keep pulling on the chain, wherever your weak link is, determined by your genetics and antecedents, that's where the symptoms are going to come. 14 of the 15 top causes of death are chronic inflammatory diseases. And your gut fuels so much of that inflammation because most people have bad guts because all the garbage in the food that we eat today. So when you learn all this, okay, so it's a little overwhelming. I got that. It's a little overwhelming. But when you learn all this, now the question is, what do you do? Mrs. Patient, you build a healthy, diverse microbiome. And we have expert after expert after expert talking about that. And so we have the whole game plan on how do you build a healthy microbiome. It takes 4 months, 6 months to do. You don't do it by buying a bottle of pills of bacteria called probiotics. That can be helpful, but that's not the picture. That's not going to fix it. So that's the kind of messaging we're giving. First, you have to understand the problem. Where is the inflammation coming from? Okay, it's always inflammation. And where is it coming from? And then you stop throwing gasoline on the fire. Is it the food you're eating or the air you're breathing? Is it your emotional thoughts? You know, one expert showed us the science and he said, negative thoughts activate inflammation just as potently as exposure to a bad bacteria or virus. Your negative thoughts. So if you're going in a work environment where it's just negative for you, or if you're in a relationship that's negative for you, you're pulling on the chain. Just wait. Here comes the disease. It'll come.
How do you plan? Because I think this is a viable question. How do you, when you say 6 months, when you say it's going to take somebody 6 months to clean this up, it's going to have to be compelling. Because I mean, most people won't do anything for 6 months, if I'm being honest. Like, I help people lose weight for a living. And if I tell somebody, hey, it might take you 6 months to lose that 15 pounds, they're gone. They're leaving. Mm-hmm. They want to lose it tomorrow.
Right.
And this is probably way more important than losing 15 pounds. How are we going to get people to commit to do something for 6 months? Unless I could see if somebody's like at end stage, you know what I mean? Like if your leg's falling off, you'll do anything to get your leg not to fall off. But like you said earlier, I'm not that bad, right? Like, so how do we convince them that not being that bad is eventually going to get there and to give up six, not to give up, but to give 6 months of their lives to feel better forever? How are we going to do that?
We have a number of interviews with psychiatrists and psychologists on that specific question.
Good.
How do you empower people? And one of the best answers, just last week, I was in Los Angeles and I got to interview Fran Drescher, the actress, the nanny. And Fran was diagnosed with uterine cancer 22 years ago. And her oncologist saved her life, in her opinion. But she asked him, why did this happen? And he didn't know. He didn't know. So she went on a journey to find out. And she formed Cancer Schmancer, which is a nonprofit group that educates people. Usually they've already got cancer by the time they come to Cancer Schmancer, right? And she's educating people. Look, you've got to get rid of the plastic storage containers in your kitchen because they're leaching plastics phthalates into your food. And then you eat that food. You got to get glass storage containers. Look, you got to use organic nail polish. Look, you have to, and you know, she, when we went into her home for the interview, her assistant gave us little blue booties to put on our shoes, you know, and you know, it's like things you see in the hospital sometimes. And when Fran came in, I just laughed and, you know, she's a friend, you know, and I gave her a hug and I said, you're the only other person I know besides me and my wife that have blue booties at the door for people. And she laughs, because you leave the toxic outside world outside, that you're walking down the sidewalk coming home and your neighbor sprayed their weed killer on the grass and it rained a little, or they water the grass and water on the sidewalk. So now you're walking through the weed killer. It's on your shoes. Now you walk into your house and you have your shoes on and it gets on the carpet. And now you're 2 year or you're 6-month-old baby is crawling on the carpet, getting weed killer on their hands. And so you leave the toxic outside world outside. And as you learn these concepts, it's not something you do for a month or 2 months. It's a lifetime that you change the paradigm. You change the lifestyle. Once you understand the dynamic of what we're exposed to in this world today and where diseases come from, once you understand that, then what you embrace is the concept of progress, not perfection. It doesn't matter when you lose 15 pounds. What matters is that you're changing the lifestyle that has been the emergency brake on losing 15 pounds. You know, you back out of a driveway and you say, what's wrong with this car? It's barely moved. Oh, the emergency brake. And you let go of the emergency brake and you back out just fine.
Right.
What you are going to be trained to do is to recognize the emergency brakes that stop you from being successful. And as Fran was talking about all this, she kept stroking her arm like this and said, you know, you just want to take care of yourself. And some people want to do it all at once, and some people can do one thing a week. That's all they can do. But they're successful at it, and in 6 months, they've completely changed their home. They don't have a toxic home anymore. And she just kept stroking herself while she was doing that, you know. That the idea here, and we talk to people about this, is to be kind to yourself. Be kind. And just go for progress, not perfection.
I like that. Before we get you out of here, I want to give a little correlation, because I think sometimes people need to hear like some things that maybe they're familiar with in order to tie the two things together. So in your opinion, and I'm pretty sure I already know your answer, I'll give you a synopsis. Like when I was growing up, like I'll be 50 in October, none of my friends had ADHD. None of my friends had anxiety. I didn't know one depressed person in my entire town. And then fast forward to now, most of the kids that I know have some form of depression, some form of anxiety, some kind of ADHD or some other, you know, acronym we've never even heard of. And then let's also correlate to everything, all the disease states are an explosive high, like they've never been and they're never coming down. There is right. A correlation between everything you're talking about and all of that stuff, right?
Right. This is why.
Yeah, that's where we're at. But nobody wants to give it to what, I mean, it's what you're saying is so obvious. You know, it's like if you start talking about like plastics, like leaching into it, like well, that makes 100% sense. But plastic water bottles still sell at a higher rate than, you know, anything else in the world. You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness. A paper came out 5 weeks ago. And, you know, we've all heard about microplastics in water and in fish and all that. The technology's improved, and they now have laser beam analysis of water, and they can identify nanoplastics, which is a billionth of a gram. And what they just published in the three popular types of water they bought in the store, liter bottle. In a 1 liter bottle, the average was 240,000 nanoparticles of plastic in 1 liter of water. Now, it's like, what? And that stuff goes right through your blood-brain barrier into your brain, creating inflammation in your brain. I won't buy a plastic water bottle anymore. And it's a problem, you know, because I travel a lot, and in airports, they don't sell water in glass bottles.
Right.
And you can't bring your own water through TSA, you know, through security. And so you're stuck. You know, what do you do? And so in LA, I found that they had, I asked, and they said, oh, yeah, there's a water filter dispenser over there by gate so-and-so. And so, you know, I filled up a container. But it's a problem. And we're all being so poisoned right now, and I use that word consciously, we don't know, we don't realize, but as you said, people's brains are not working right anymore. So many people are suffering from depression and anxiety and schizophrenia, and we have to detox. We have to stop throwing gasoline on the fire, causing the inflammation, and we have to get the stuff out that's inside our body.
I love it. And I'm assuming this is what we're all going to get in the docuseries. So let's
That's talk exactly
about,
right.
Let's talk about that. So it's coming out on March the 20th, 2024. I'll have all the details for how people can sign up and watch and the whole nine yards. Just tell me a little bit about it. Is it it's a series, obviously, but what does it look like?
Yeah. It'll be 8 days, and there's each day is about 45 minutes. A couple of them are close to an hour of experts talking. We'll take 6 minutes of this doctor and 9 minutes of this one and 3 minutes of this one to create the story, you know, to get different ways of looking at whatever the theme is of that day. And then at the end of every day, my partner, Tom Molterra, and I, could you believe when Dr. Bland said a negative thought is just as potent as an exposure to a pathogenic bacteria in activating the immune system? Wow, I didn't know that. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means we have to listen to what the experts were saying about how do you stay calm in the midst of chaos? What are some of the simple things you can do? For example, And this is a pearl that everyone can try. And I'm really comfortable saying, you try this. And if you do it for one day, and if you don't feel any different, don't watch the series. You know, I'll challenge you.
Yeah.
But set your alarm for 1 hour. And every waking hour, when the alarm goes off, just pause for a moment and take 5 deep breaths. Count to 4 when you breathe in. Count to 4 breathing out. And count to 4 with no breath. Then count to 4 again. And do that 5 times. It'll take you 45 seconds, right? And then go back to driving. You know, if you're driving, it's easy to do. Or if you're on the computer, you can stay in the computer. But just focus on these breaths. Just take less than 1 minute out of every hour. And notice in 4 or 5 hours if you feel a little calmer, a little more clear-headed, because you're fueling your parasympathetic nervous system when you do that. So, and that's the calm, relaxed nervous system. So just do that for 1 day. And if you don't notice a difference, don't watch the event. But if you notice, wow, yeah, I think I just feel a little bit calmer. Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I feel great. If that's the case, then come join us and say, wow, this is really cool. I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. So that was that. My next question was going to be benefits, right? Because human beings don't do anything unless they think they're going to get some benefit out of it, right? So you just gave us a little nugget there. So we're going to watch the docuseries, 8 days, 45 minutes to an hour each day. And people are going to get actionable, practical takeaways that they can
every day. Every day.
Implementable things that they can implement in their life immediately.
Right.
It's going to make a massive impact. I love that.
And you're going to hear me every day saying, now remember, progress, not perfection. Don't be a perfectionist here. And that's such a challenge. And whenever I sign books, you know, I have a couple of books. And whenever I sign a book, I ask the person their name and say, Kathy, base hits win the ball game. Tom O'Brien. Because that's the secret to success. And what we'll talk about is you allocate 1 hour a week. That's all, just 1 hour a week to implementing or learning something new. For example, when you learn about these plastic containers in the kitchen are toxic, then you're going to go online to the 3 URLs we give you, you know, Miles Kimball and Amazon and whatever the third one was, and look at glass storage containers. And you'll say, oh, those are okay. Oh, I like those. And you order 3 round ones and 2 square ones and 1 for the pie. You pay with your credit card, hit send. You're done. It took an hour, but you're done for the week. That's all you do. But never again will you poison your family with minute amounts of phthalate using plastic storage containers. And then next week, you look at the URLs for organic nail polish. And then next week, you read the handouts from NASA on how houseplants absorb 74% of the toxins in a 10 by 10 room. And you go get the houseplants and put them in your kids' bedrooms and in the living room and in the dining room. You know, just, and oh, I've seen those plants before. You know, so, and you can go to thedr.com/plant, thedoctor.com/plant. Just don't spell the word doctor out. That's my website. And download the plant handout now. But we're going to give the handout and we're going to talk about it in detail during the event. Awesome. You know, and then next week, you do one more thing. That's why it takes 6 months. But in 6 months, you see somebody that you haven't seen for a while, and they say, wow, you look really great. What happened to you? Well, you know, I stopped poisoning my family with plastic Tupperware containers, and I don't get the coffee in the plastic cup with lid at the coffee shop anymore. I go in with my stainless steel container and say, fill it up. And I've learned about organic nail polish, and I found that these foods were not good for me, and these were, and we're trying to eat organic more often, and we have organic shampoo now. You know, it's like, but, and your friend goes, wow, that's overwhelming. Wow. But you did 1 hour a week.
Right.
And over time, you're successful. That's the secret to success in changing the paradigm of how you live your life. 1 hour a week.
I love it. I love stuff like this. So I'm definitely going to be tuning in, and I'll give all the listeners the info on how they can sign up and get great. All the great data. And we're going to get a little bit healthier. That's what I said in the intro. Like, when you listen to conversations like this, you just have to think about getting a little bit healthier at each and every day, right? You can't do it all at once.
Yeah.
And so this has been super, super valuable information. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with regarding either the docuseries or, you know, something that they should do in the next step?
Yeah. The science is really clear. You can arrest the development and reverse your chronic degenerative disease. You can arrest and reverse your disease. Come join us. We'll show you how.
I love that. Dr. O'Brien, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for spending your time with us today. And I know we got some extreme value, and we'll see you on the docuseries.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I hope you guys enjoyed that show as much as I did. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, I am so thankful and so grateful that you take the time to listen to the show every week. And it means the absolute world to me. If you've got a little bit of time, it would mean everything if you would go and give the show a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on, as well as share it with a friend or family member that you think might find value in the show. And again, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being an awesome human and listening to the Overweight Mind podcast. Thanks, and we'll see you again next week. All right, bye.